This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is The Michael Medved Show.
This greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation, despite the fact that one out of five Americans, according to a new federal survey, people age 12 or older. This includes 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, that one out of five of that age group has used marijuana within the last year. Now, is this a problem? We will talk about that in light of a series of new studies, including one that talks about how marijuana use can affect surgery and actually put you in a great deal of danger of not getting sufficient doses of anesthesia, which you need more of if you're a regular pot user. To talk about some of this, it's great to welcome back to the show Luke Niferatos, who is the executive vice president of an organization called Smart Approaches to Marijuana. And Luke, I had not heard anything at all about this. I mean, I guess this is not the kind of information that the marijuana industry, big weed, wants the public to know about. What is exactly the danger here regarding anesthesia, surgery, and pot use?
Yeah, Michael, it's always such a pleasure to be on your show. Just been listening to you literally since I was growing up with my dad as a kid. So thank you for the good work you've been doing.
Appreciate it.
It is truly, it's just kind of astonishing. These are the price that we pay when we rush a policy forward. So, you know, my state of Colorado legalized marijuana a decade ago. That's where I'm from. And so it's only been 10 years, and we had never seen, you know, commercial mind-altering drugs before, really, outside of alcohol and tobacco. And so we fast-tracked this. We made it widely available. We let an industry change and alter this drug, make it more potent. And we did so without knowing a lot of things. And one of those things that we're now starting to uncover is that marijuana and anesthetics do not go together well. And so we had our nation's top association of anesthesiologists issue a warning saying, you know, surgical centers, surgeons, et cetera, need to screen patients for quote-unquote medical marijuana use or just any marijuana use because it contraindicates with a lot of the anesthetics that are being used before surgical procedures. So what that means is it interacts badly with the anesthetics, and people could, you know, potentially die. They could have no help from the anesthetics that are being given to them for the surgery. All kinds of unfortunate things could happen. And again, this is what happens when we rush these things through without listening to our nation's doctors, who, by the way, all, you know, American Medical Association, all the nation's top medical organizations are opposed to legalizing marijuana. And this is in part why, because of things like this.
Okay, part of what is happening here is apparently you require a higher dose of anesthetics if you have been a regular pot user. And this means even for very serious surgeries or for even routine surgical procedures like endoscopies, which happens with people. The danger is that the anesthetic doesn't work as well. You need more of it if you're a chronic marijuana user, right?
That's right. Yeah. And actually what's interesting is, you know, so we saw this with anesthetics where, you know, it's not, you know, it is not sufficient to just give the normal amount of anesthetics. You actually have to give more, which that creates a whole lot of risks for the patient just right there. But also there have been research studies on, you know, when they're using opioids in a hospital setting, if they're marijuana users, they require a lot more opioids administered
including
to get that pain relief during the hospital procedure as well.
Including fentanyl, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Hospital fentanyl, when it's administered, requires a lot more of it. And that flies in the face of the narrative, Michael, that we've heard from the industry saying, well, marijuana will help you with your pain, and if you use marijuana, you won't need opiates. But study after study just in the last 5 years has shown the opposite. You actually need more opiates if you're a patient.
Okay, this is, by the way, the subject of a terrific piece full of data and information and research by Sumati Reddy in the Wall Street Journal today, and it's very important. But there's more. There's another piece about California's marijuana paradise lost. And one of the big arguments for legalization, and I know you heard this in your native Colorado, Luke, and this was the argument that was made everywhere, was that if they legalize marijuana, the black market will go away. How's that black market doing in, say, California, where pot is not only legal, it's popular?
Yeah, no, it's so funny, because that's what we were promised in Colorado. That's what they were promised in California, is that, you know, somehow after legalizing marijuana, the cartels would put down their guns and, you know, join PETA or something like that. I don't know. But did not happen. We have worse cartel activity, worse illegal drug dealing, and all those things. And so look no further than California, which is the subject of this Wall Street Journal op-ed today, where, you know, they're talking about the fact that more than 80% of the entire market for marijuana, sales, use, more than 80% of that is done on the black market. So literally the legal industry is serving state legal industry, still federally illegal. The state legal industry is serving only 20% of the market. So it's an absolute disaster. Cartels from Mexico and China and Nicaragua are setting up shop across California, particularly in their open, you know, in the national forests and other areas, and setting up illegal pot grows. And they're using legalization as cover for their illegal activity. So, you know, law enforcement is not even close to resourced enough to be able to inspect every single grow site. In fact, we're hearing from a lot of these states where they're not even bothering to inspect any of the marijuana businesses, which is a whole other concern right there. But there's certainly not enough resources to inspect every single grow site. So the cartels are using that as cover. They've got their own grow sites, totally illegal, but nobody knows. And actually, there was a big expose done in NBC just a few weeks ago that identified how these cartels are bringing in human trafficking victims to work these illegal pot grows, and that they estimate more than 80% of the products going to the state legal marijuana industry are coming from work done by human trafficking victims, which is just horrifying. And if you haven't seen it, there's a whole NBC segment on it you can find online.
You don't have to look to an NBC segment. We're here in the state of Washington, and I was talking the other day on the air about what the negative impact is on neighborhoods of legal marijuana dispensaries or shops that are set up. And somebody was saying, oh, no, no, you can't set them up anywhere. You can't set them up near a school, for instance. That really hasn't worked out that well, has it?
No, it hasn't. So, you know, actually, California is one of the places where so first of all, California's got thousands of illegal pot dispensaries that are cartel-backed or just illegal operator-backed that are literally set up. They look like legal businesses. They're in, you know, shopping areas, but they're totally illegal, totally unregulated, and no one's doing a thing about it. They're just selling black market weed and getting away with it. So that's one problem. And they are setting these up near to schools and targeting kids with their products like candies and gummies, et cetera. But also the legal industry wrangled the words in the law for legalizing in the ballot referendum for legalizing marijuana, where they said that kindergartens and pre-Ks, private kindergartens and pre-Ks, do not classify as quote unquote schools in the definitions of the legislation, which is just despicable. So you have dispensaries that are right next door to private kindergartens and pre-Ks across California, as well as Oregon. They did this as well. And so the question becomes...
And so, such an, a great enhancement for,
kids,
such a great enhancement for neighborhoods, right? We will be right back, because there's more. Why, with all of this information coming out, is Chuck Schumer trying to legalize marijuana on a federal level? We'll get to it.
Michael Medved Show.
In 1982, E.T. and Rocky III were tops at the box office. Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll rocked its way to number 3 on the Billboard charts, and Washington State got its last cut to the state sales tax rate. This is Michael Medved for Washington Policy Center. 30 years is a long wait for a sequel. With record inflation and skyrocketing prices, we're long overdue. After more than $10.5 billion in recent revenue surpluses with no sales tax relief, it's time. Go to OverdueSince82.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
A few minutes more with Luke Nefratos, who is the executive vice president of Smart Approaches to Marijuana. And Luke, you were talking before about pot shops and their impact on neighborhoods and their likelihood of actually bringing crime and antisocial behavior. in their wake? Has there been some authoritative research about that, the impact of actual pot shops on neighborhoods?
Yeah, there has been, Michael. Unfortunately, and it's really not surprising, but the research shows us two things. One, if you have a pot shop in your community, it decreases the perception of risk of using marijuana for youth and young adults. So basically everybody under the age of 25 basically has a reduced perception of risk for using it. They think it's basically more normal because they're growing up around it. They're seeing it around. And the second thing that a pot shop brings is an increase in crime in the immediate community around it. So a 2019 study done by the University of Colorado found about a double-digit percent increase. It was around 20% increase in property crime in the immediate vicinity of places that had marijuana shops. And there's some other research that has kind of echoed that finding in recent years. And so, I mean, it's not surprising because, you know, anywhere you have mind-altering substances being sold, they tend to bring, you know, a different crowd. And so I think that's why we're seeing most, interestingly, a lot of people don't know this, most of the cities and towns in every single state that's legalized marijuana have opted out of legalization. So they've banned pot shops. They've banned the industry from their localities. And so, for example, even a blue state like California, more than 80% of California's towns and cities have opted out of legalization, which is pretty striking. And you also have, you know, Oregon, 70%, Colorado, 65%. So most of these states have opted out, and that's a really important thing to know.
Well, again, and also the pot shops themselves become a target of crime. There was a case here a couple of years ago in Snohomish County, Washington, which is just north of King County in Seattle, where criminals broke into a pot shop and held people hostage, locked them in a vault somewhere. And a pretty serious matter, because I guess if you are looking for a business to target where there will be some cash on hand and other stuff you can steal that is valuable, and where there may not be the best standards of security, these emporiums also lend themselves to that kind of abuse.
That's correct. Yeah, Michael, you know, it's interesting. You know, people, you know, they're obviously jewelry stores are targets for crime as well because of the valuable products that they have, you know, not necessarily because they have cash on premises. And it's the same kind of thing here at work with pot shops where, you know, you steal weed, you can sell it on the black market and make a lot of money, especially these high-potency concentrates that the industry is really pushing right now. So, you know, there's been a lot of play in D.C. about, you know, hey, we should have – there's a bill called the Safe Banking Act where they're saying let's basically legalize marijuana for financial purposes, not, you know, not the use and sales, but legalize the finance part of it, so that they can get banked and, you know, get rid of all that cash. And the argument that the industry is making is, you know, we're a cash-only business, and that's what people are robbing us for. And it's really dishonest because they're not getting robbed for the cash. In fact, in some of these robberies, the cash isn't even being stolen out of the pot shop. It's all about stealing the product, which can be sold for a whole lot more and make a whole lot more money. And so really what it's about, you know, when you look at the Safe Banking Act is, it's this bill that's being used to try to legalize marijuana backdoor, basically, you know, and so they can get all the billions through the banks and all those kinds of things.
And it's not only backdoor. The Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has introduced the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act, which would decriminalize weed on the federal level and allow states to set their own marijuana laws without any fear of punishment from Washington. A federal legalization, is that inevitable?
No, it's not. You know, Schumer knows that that bill is dead on arrival, which is why he introduced it and then really hasn't done anything with it since. It speaks volumes, the lack of speaking he's done on that bill. He's really focused on the Safe Banking Act because he figures with his partnerships with the bank as well as with the banks, as well as with Big Tobacco. You know, Altria is the biggest tobacco company in the country here, this new name for Philip Morris and Marlboro. You know, they're really pushing and lobbying hard for this banking act because, you know, they want to make money off of this thing. So that's what he's spending a lot of his time on. And, you know, for being a guy who is, you know, really leading the fight against anti-tobacco, leading the fight for anti-tobacco efforts, it's really odd to see him kind of in bed with tobacco, you know, and trying to, you know, get marijuana banked. But no, he's pushing it. It's not inevitable, though. There's no votes for this. McConnell certainly, he said himself, he's not a marijuana guy, and he should be applauded for that. And I think also we need to understand, just even, you know, I'm in Colorado, you know, you're in a legal state, Washington state. Even in states with legal marijuana, it's not a good idea to encourage legalization at the federal level or any kind of advance there, because this is really experimental. You know, it's really only been 10 years since Washington and Colorado were the first states to legalize, and we need to have a lot more years of studying and understanding what happens when you legalize this. What happens to our youth? We're already seeing a whole lot of bad things happening. I think this is an experiment that, you know, the American people might want to actually fix this thing, or, you know, or roll it back one day. We should not, you know, rush down the road to federalize this when we really are just beginning to understand all the problems associated with these new products and with this new industry.
There's a word that they're expecting that marijuana use within a couple of years should exceed tobacco use in America, which would have seemed unthinkable years ago. Comment?
Yeah, I mean, we're basically, what we're doing is it's kind of like watching a car crash happen over again on replay in slow motion. That's kind of what we're watching right now. And the reason I say replay is because we've seen all this with tobacco. We fought tobacco for 50 years. It's still killing 500,000 Americans every year. It has killed millions of people around the world, tobacco has. These companies got away with it. They continue to get away with it. They're making billions of dollars still, if you can believe it. And we're now watching the beginnings of this all over again with marijuana. And I know that because, first of all, tobacco is the biggest investor in the marijuana industry, and they're really teaching it all the tools of the trade and all the tricks. But I also know this because we are seeing the industry do the same thing that tobacco did. They've altered marijuana. Now it's 99% potent. The plant in its natural state was never even close to that. It was 1-3%. So it's not even the same plant anymore, just like they altered tobacco. They've made it more addictive. So, you know, just like they did with nicotine and tobacco, now these marijuana products, 1 in 3 people, according to our federal statistics, 1 in 3 people who uses marijuana in the last year will develop a cannabis use disorder. That's marijuana addiction. So addiction rates rising. It's really, you know, a scary time for those of us in public health, where we've, you know, fought a long time to get rid of big tobacco, and now we got big marijuana.
And that's why it's so important, the work that you're doing. Luke Niforotas, Executive Vice President of the Smart Approaches to Marijuana, information posted on our website. Coming up, something else that's really dangerous is the war on democracy, maybe even here at home. How? Why? We'll be right back on the MedVed Show.
The Michael MedVed Show. MichaelMedVed.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. A House panel investigating the weaponization of the government is holding its first hearing. The subcommittee was established by the new Republican majority to look into claims the Department of Justice, FBI, and other federal agencies are biased against conservatives. Committee Chair Jim Jordan laid out several instances of FBI whistleblowers describing how the DOJ has targeted Republicans.
I have never seen anything like this. Dozens and dozens of whistleblowers, FBI agents coming to us talking about what's going on, the political nature at the Justice Department.
The death toll from a massive earthquake earlier this week in Turkey and Syria now sits at more than 20,000. An attorney for President Biden's son, Hunter, is hitting back at House Republicans after they requested records related to his business dealings. They said there's no legitimate legislative purpose and oversight basis for such a request. Dave Collins, USA News.
I need to pay bills. When is my tax refund coming?
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
I need to set up a payment plan. How do I do that?
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
I need help with my taxes. Does the IRS offer free help?
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Need answers to your tax questions? Go to irs.gov.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Politics to pop culture, and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there are all kinds of studies and surveys and research that is done on where the American people are, where we are ideologically, where we are in terms of values, what is important, what are priorities to the American electorate. I mean, obviously, when you have elections where so many untold billions of dollars are spent on advertising and consultants and designing campaign speeches and all the rest of it, this is a major industry. And there is a study that I think is very important, and I think it's in fact necessary, and it's gotten almost no attention because it comes from a small but a very worthy college, Allegheny College, and in Pennsylvania. And it's by a number of faculty members, aided by a number of graduate students there. And it's a study about democratic norms in America. And the headline for their release about what they looked at is large numbers of Americans want a strong, rough, anti-democratic leader. And they write, as scholars interested in how committed citizens are to democracy, we wanted to measure whether regular Americans want someone who will abide by democratic traditions and practices or will dispense with them. Using a nationally representative sample of 1,500 respondents, we found that a large proportion of Americans are willing to support leaders who would violate democratic principles. At the Allegheny College Center for Political Participation, we, with our former student Candace Crawford, asked people about their willingness to support leaders who promise to protect them by any means necessary. even if that meant violating expected standards of behavior in a democracy, a set of principles often called democratic norms. We developed these questions based on existing research about the strategies that leaders with anti-democratic tendencies use to build public support. In Venezuela, for instance, democratic decline happened gradually. Early on, Venezuela's former president Hugo Chavez was known for using nationalist language and calling opponents epithets like rancid oligarchs and squealing pigs. Later, he blacklisted those who sought his removal from office through a democratically conducted referendum. Eventually, he went further, arresting and exiling his political opponents. And now, of course, they have Maduro, the handpicked successor to the late Hugo Chavez. And under his leadership, there have been more than a million people who have fled the country. And some numbers say it's much more than a million people and desperately trying to go somewhere else, many of them to the United States. In our study, we asked about behaviors that foreshadow the early stages of democratic decline. For instance, we asked citizens whether they thought the only way our country can solve its current problems is by supporting tough leaders who will crack down on those who undermine American values. We also asked about explicit violations of democratic principles like shutting down news organizations and bending the rules to get things done. Anti-democratic statements are embraced by members of both U.S. political parties, but more commonly by Republicans. For example, about 90% of Republicans say they would support tough leaders who crack down on groups that undermine American values. However, the respondents define those values. More than half of Democrats take the same position. Perhaps even more notably, nearly half of citizens who strongly support the Republican Party and over a third of those who strongly support the Democratic Party endorse the view that it is acceptable to bend the rules for people like themselves to achieve political goals. This echoes other research that has found Americans on both sides of the political aisle are willing to sacrifice democratic principles and practices if it means their political party wins elections. Sobering? Are you one of those people who feels that it should be necessary to bend the rules and to crack down on opponents to help your party, whichever party it is, win elections? 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Do you remember, it was very recently that President Trump gave comments about the stolen election, which of course is an obsessive concern with the former president, and basically said that sometimes you have to set aside the Constitution. This is almost exactly what they're talking about in this study, which is the idea of bending the rules. And the problem here is that if you don't rely on the Constitution, then it's what the people call the law of the jungle, right? That it's all about strength and mobilizing your side. And part of what makes a republic is that it's not just the will of the majority, there's also some protection for the minority. Meanwhile, this also goes to a question about the future of the Republican Party and the upcoming election. There's a piece over at Newser that says Trump may actually want Nikki Haley to run in 2024. Why is that? A.B. Stoddard, who was on our show last week, said that Nikki Haley is really running for vice president, and any Republican who actually wins the nomination would be very likely to pick Nikki Haley as a candidate for vice president. Maybe that's true, but that's not what this article is saying. Former President Trump says he recently told Nikki Haley to go by your heart in her decision to run for his old job in 2024. Apparently she called him, even though he's also a contender. Now it looks like Haley's expected candidacy might actually help Trump, siphoning away support from yet another anticipated Republican challenger, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and ultimately tipping the GOP nomination scales in Trump's favor. That's a report from The Guardian. This scenario comes courtesy of a new Yahoo News YouGov poll of nearly 1,600 U.S. adults held February 2nd to 6th. It shows that DeSantis is ahead of Trump, 45% to 41%. That's within the margin of error, by the way. If the primary were to be held today, if Haley made it a three-way race, she'd draw 11% of the votes, dropping DeSantis' number to 35%, leaving Trump with the victory at 38%. The poll found that even if this race opened up wider with nine candidates, Trump would still narrowly eke out a win. Can I tell you, this far away from the election, kinds of narrow results where you're winning 38% to 35%, they really don't mean a great deal. The idea that that right now President Trump is actually secretly rooting for Nikki Haley to make a good race and to become a death blow for Ron DeSantis. Who knows whether Ron DeSantis will even run? But the former president told reporters over the weekend that Haley had phoned him to alert him of her presidential plans, and he says he told her, go by your heart if you want to run. And what about the idea of voter suppression? Is there a real negative impact on turnout overall for any group defined by race, gender, age? We'll get to it on the MedVet Show.
Michael, this is the best show.
This is the Michael MedVet Show.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Now, what am I trying to say?
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, elections matter. And yes, I think we have too many elections in the United States. We have every single year is an election year. By the way, if you didn't notice, there was an important election in Pennsylvania on Tuesday. They had three different seats available in the state House of Representatives, seats that had contests in them. The Democrats swept all three. It was in Allegheny County in Pennsylvania on Tuesday, and now the Democrats have added to their gains from the 2022 midterm election. They now have control the Pennsylvania House of Representatives by 102 votes to 101 votes. They needed to sweep all three. They did. Anyway, the too many elections, but they are significant, and election security and election suppression and election fraud of all kinds is a legitimate study and a question. And one of the points that Republicans have made to our credit, I believe, for a long time, is that one of the best ways to avoid every different kind of fraud you can imagine is election ID, is basically treating casting a ballot as seriously as you treat cashing a check. You can't cash a check somewhere unless you show ID. And the idea that you should have to show ID for elections is not racist. It is not destructive. It is not discriminatory. A 2021 study, which was just recently publicized in Wall Street Journal, detected no negative effect on registration or turnout overall or for any group defined by race, gender, age, or party affiliation by requiring voter ID. This ought to be old news, but somebody please inform President Biden and the Democrats that another academic study has found voter ID laws don't have real partisan consequences. The new analysis posted Monday of this week by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, so it's pretty authoritative, comes at the question from a slightly different angle. Existing research focuses on how voter ID laws affect voter turnout and fraud, write the two authors who are political scientists at Notre Dame, but the extent to which they produce observable electoral benefits for Republican candidates and or penalize Democratic candidates remains an open question. So what's the answer? to that open question after examining state and federal elections from 2003 to 2020. Quote, the first laws implemented produced a Democratic advantage, which weakened to near zero after 2012, the study says. We conclude that voter ID requirements motivate and mobilize supporters of both parties, ultimately mitigating their anticipated effects on election results. The lack of suppressive outcome explains why requiring voter ID fraud is favored by 77% of people of color and 80% of white adults. That's to quote Gallup's poll from last year. For that matter, the journal says, have a gander at the University of Georgia's 2022 post-election survey. Asked to rate their personal experience voting in the Peach State, which was so close and so crucial to the election, 72.6% of black residents said their experience voting was excellent. 23.6% said their experience was good. 3.3% said it was fair. 0% said it was poor. In other words, what you have here is 95% of black residents said they had a good experience going to the polls. And this was after all that screaming about how the Georgia electoral reform that was passed by the Republican legislature was going to take away the right to vote. I mean, again, I hope that Stacey Abrams will take a close look at this. Those who had a self-reported problem with voting included 1.3% of white people. Ouch. And 0.5% of blacks. In other words, white people were three times as likely to be frustrated by the electoral process in Georgia as black people. This is an amazing development. I'll tell you what else is an amazing development. Is the D.C. District Judge Trevor McFadden found Kevin Seafried guilty last June of each of the five charges he faced, including obstructing an official proceeding, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and entering and remaining in a restricted area. He's a Delaware guy, not a Biden Delaware guy, who carried a large Confederate flag inside the U.S. Capitol during the January 6, 2021 riot that was part of the mob that chased the U.S. Capitol police officer. He's now been sentenced after having been found guilty a couple of months ago. He'll be facing 3 years in prison. During the trial before Judge Trevor McFadden, United States Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman, remember him, testified that Seafried had jabbed the base of the flagpole toward him multiple times to try to push him away. Seafried, Goodman said, eventually moved back to rejoin the mob after the officer didn't move. He was that hero who led the mob when they were rampaging the wrong way, so they actually wouldn't say, oh, no, go up here, follow me, up here, this way. He's an African-American guy, one guy, and the mobs were trying to get him. And I wonder how Officer Goodman felt about being poked by a giant Confederate flag. And I wonder if somehow this convicted Kevin Seafried is actually going to hold on to his Confederate flag as a cherished memento. There were some calls for national unity in the State of the Union address, and those calls were actually echoed in one sense on Fox News by Kevin McCarthy, talking, well, about the dangers of China. Listen, this is clip 7.
Think about this. China actually acknowledged, yes, it is their balloon. And then they had the boldness to say after it was shot down, after it had gone over our sovereignty, that they want it back. I mean, it's very important that we do capture it, find out what's on it, find out what they are doing. But they did put out publicly the American intel to the public that this isn't the only one, that it's also in other continents as well. This is what China has been doing, but it should be no doubt to us. This is the reason why when we became speaker, I selected and created a new committee on China, put an equal number of Republicans and Democrats. Where I think we've really failed as a country is when we don't speak with one voice to China. We've become dependent in so many areas, be it critical minerals. They're looking at our stealing our farmland. You look at our intellectual property that they continue to take. This has got to stop, but they are so bold to go over our country, even though we know that it's coming, and we tell the public, shoot it down, and they want it back. Think about it, how far they've gone.
Okay, look at how far they've gone, and of the increasing possibility of going to war with China. Now, one of the things that I want to confront with our next guest, who's a Captain William Toady, who has written about America's lack of preparation for a potential war. And it's a lack of preparation in terms of personnel as well as equipment, particularly naval equipment. And I know people say two things. They say, first of all, will it matter with the naval equipment? This is going to be a nuclear war. They're a nuclear power. The idea that the fact that we have nuclear weapons means we don't have to worry about actually defending Taiwan if it comes to that, or helping to defend Japan or South Korea or the Philippines, where we just reached an agreement to place more forces. What do you say about that? And what do you say about the idea that it's just too nightmarish to even think about war with China? We will talk about that coming up with a naval strategist and a retired captain in our Navy, William Toady, coming up to talk about defending this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.